24 right now for Burlington, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. Humidity at 75%. For WGTD News, I'm Dave McGrath. Coming up on 11 minutes after 8, just ahead of the morning show with Greg Berg.
And we welcome you to the Monday Morning Show on WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva, your gateway to public radio. I'm Gregory Berg. Well, after all of the unwanted excitement of last night's severe thunderstorms in southeastern Wisconsin and northeastern Illinois, it's nice to wake up to a calm, beautiful, sunny Monday morning, and especially to be able to have on this Monday morning show the president of Gateway Technical College, Brian Albrecht, paying his monthly visit to the program. And we're also really honored to have a couple of people representing the Gateway Board of Trustees with us this morning. We'll introduce them in a little while, and also introduce a Gateway instructor who is helping to helm a brand new program here at Gateway. So we have some exciting things to talk about over the next few minutes, but first we welcome President Brian Albrecht back to the program.
Good morning, Greg. It's great to be with you, and I can attest the storms were pretty severe in certain parts of the state. I was actually driving through Fond du Lac last evening,
I went
through the hailstorm, so I know folks up there, I feel sorry for them, and hopefully everyone is safe this morning.
Yeah, how's your car?
It's fine, but I was a little nervous for a while because, boy, those were some big hailstones that hit the car.
Yeah, not fun. Well, there are a lot of different things we can talk about, including the fact that you are just back from Washington, D.C., and actually getting trained to be the member of a very important board. Tell us about that.
Yeah, thanks, Greg. You're right. Last week, I had the unique opportunity to begin my term as a trustee for the American Association of Community Colleges, affectionately known in our world as AACC. It's the largest professional organization for representatives in the community college environment. There are now 1,123 colleges like Gateway across the nation. Some states call them community colleges. In Wisconsin, we call them technical colleges. And in other states, like Minnesota, they call them community and technical colleges. So it's a wide variety of different names for it. But I was honored to be elected this year by my peers, one of 25 members to represent colleges through the AACC. And just had a terrific experience meeting a lot of old friends that serve on the board. And I was really proud of Gateway because a lot of the examples that were shared at the board meeting as far as what are some of the best practices around the country were actually directed toward Gateway. So it made me feel really confident that what we're doing is certainly in line with what our nation needs for helping people make that transition back into the workplace. But I also wanted to mention just a side note on that. While I was in Washington, I was invited to attend a meeting at USAID, so that's the United States of America's International Development Corporation, and they fund projects around the year to help build capacity for underdeveloped countries. And as we've mentioned on the program before, that Gateway's had a great partnership in North Africa at the University of Oujda in Morocco.
Right.
Yeah, and we were highlighted, one of two colleges to be represented at this event at USAID, and really had a chance to showcase the success of our faculty in developing additional capacity within the colleges in North Africa. And that was quite rewarding for me to be able to share that experience and to be acknowledged at that international level.
Wow. Very, very good. This is not exactly time off for you or most of your inner circle. The summer is an incredibly busy time, of course, for you.
I love the summer. You know, some people think that for education, summer must be the best time because it's a little slower. It's actually probably it's faster in the summer for us than maybe even in the fall or the spring, other than enrollment and registration time. So the first week of class is always very busy, but then you do settle into a pattern and you can kind of anticipate what's going to happen throughout the day. In the summer, you can't anticipate anything. We've had camps here with kids, third graders. I visited a group of third graders over at the Horizon Center a few weeks ago. They were making cars out of Legos and racing these cars, and they actually gave me one of the cars. It was the coolest day that I had had. And then not too shortly after that, I visited the iMed Center, and we had a group of young people at the iMed Center that were developing products through the Fab Lab. So they were 3D printing using CAD, and they were making graphic arts T-shirts, all kinds of great things they were doing over at the center there. And then we had a third one, a group of students that were right here at the Bioscience Center studying human anatomy. And they were so excited to learn about the digestive system and what happened to their lunch. I mean, it was just a blast. They were laughing. I was laughing. Everybody had a great time.
Laughing and learning.
Exactly. So summertime is really engaging and a lot of new activities. And, you know, I'm proud of our teams, our faculty that are here throughout the summer, and our support staff and our custodial staff for the great work they do to keep our college looking beautiful and to make sure they get all of that work done before fall enrollments begin. And as a matter of fact, if I could, I just want to recognize one of our custodial staff, Brian Field, who is actually one of the gentlemen that works here at the Bioscience Center. And
right.
You probably see Brian around the office here. He was recently nominated and received the award for the service above, and that's our customer service award. And you're nominated by your colleagues and peers, and I can attest that, having watched Brian, that he does go out of his way on a regular occasion to make sure that he helps people and always has a smile on his face and keeps our beautiful building looking fantastic.
Terrific.
So congratulations to Brian.
That's great. I know also that some important teacher training has been going on recently. Tell us about that.
Right. We've had a couple of great events. Last week, we were able to announce a new partnership with Chrysler Corporation, which was really, I think, a milestone for us here at Gateway. But it began a process of teacher certification. We trained 10 colleges last week. We'll train another 90 over this next year. We also had a group of high school teachers in from the region. So 11 of our area high schools, their faculty came in, and we did a certification course for them on torque technology, which is a torque wrench to figure out how tight things are supposed to be. And those teachers were so excited because at the end of the week, they not only received their certification, but they also received a torque wrench. So a pretty nice takeaway for them to take back to their classrooms. And now they will be able to begin certifying their high school students on torque technology from Snap-on Incorporated, which gives them a leg up in post-secondary credits, but also a leg up if they go out into the job market. So lots of great champions, whether it's Central High School, Union Grove, Burlington, Kenosha, Racine, East Troy. They all participated in this certification program, and a great credit to the teachers for coming in and spending time with us here at Gateway.
Terrific. Well, we have actually sort of two different things to do today, and one of them is to meet a couple of board members whom we've met before, but it's going to be great to have them back on the program, and then to also introduce our listeners to essentially a brand new program here at Gateway.
Right. I'm excited. So enough about me, what I've been up to. I need to introduce our guests, right?
Right.
But first of all, let me just thank Gary Olson, who is now serving on his second term as the chair of our board. We held a retreat in July, and our Board of Trustees reappointed Gary as our chair, so we're very pleased that he's with us this morning. He's from the Burlington School District, so I know he had to get up a little extra early today to be with us. And then Pamela Zenner-Richards is also a trustee for the college, has been here since I've come to Gateway, and probably even a few years before that, a very dear friend and what a great advocate for Gateway, represents the Racine community. And they'll share with us their perspective on what it's like to serve as a Board of Trustees. And I think you will hear through their comments their continued support and admiration for the faculty that we have here at Gateway. I get to celebrate the great success stories, but we all know that those success stories happen in the classroom. And Susan Gutschow is with us, who is a new instructor for Gateway. Actually been here for over a year, but new from the perspective of in a few weeks, she'll have her first class of students in a new veterinary science program. So I'm very proud of her leadership in developing that program for us and really excited to have our listeners hear about what that new training program is going to bring to our community.
Excellent. So we welcome all three of you. And let's begin with the boss, Gary Olson, who, as President Albrecht just mentioned, has been elected a second time to a second term as Gateway's chairperson for the Board of Trustees. You just had so much fun the first time around, you couldn't turn it down, huh?
I'll tell you, it's an honor to have the trust of the board, to be chair and to help lead the board for today's education, but to make sure that the college is prepared for the future. The board is made up of 9 board members, and I'm one of them, but I'll tell you, the college is very lucky that we have 9 board members who work very collaboratively for the common good of the college, working to balance the cost of doing those things against the outcomes of those things. Some of the other things that excite me about being chair is graduation, for example. It's an honor to be able to have an opportunity to introduce our keynote speaker, to be part of that ceremony, hand out diplomas, and see firsthand the direct impact that the college has on so many lives, members of our community.
You know, it's really important for everyone to recognize that the trustees are volunteers from our community, and we meet once a month. But that doesn't mean that Gary, as the chair, only meets with us once a month. I, in fact, was meeting with him earlier this morning. We meet on a regular occasion to put our agendas together, to really put to kind of the direction that we want to take our discussions at board meetings and assure that we're listening to our community and trying to be the best advocates we can on behalf of our students.
Thank you, Brian.
Great. We are also so happy to have with us Pamela Zenner-Richards, who indeed has been a really key figure here at Gateway for quite a long time. Exactly how long have you been a trustee here at Gateway?
I had to look it up. I just do it because I love it. And looking at my notes, which I had verified this morning in the office, May of 2000. So really, I can't believe it's 15 years.
I can't believe that either.
15 wonderful years. I just, I love this college. I love being part of it, and I love the fact that we are in a position and that we're part of the Gateway community, which serves the public. I mean, in another life, I am a public official, and so I believe in public service, but this is inspirational, what we do here, day in and day out. It's inspirational. And Gary touched on graduation. We change lives here. And, you know, what could be better than that? Nothing that I... So it's not a job in my mind. It's just it's a pleasure. It's something where you feel that you have... just however small the role might be, but you're still part of something larger, and it's something that helps all of the communities that we serve. So,
when you got started on the board 15 years ago, did you have any idea that this tenure was stretching ahead of you or what it was going to mean?
I was just talking to the girls in the office, and I can't remember exactly, but there were a couple of board members, Judy McFarland and Alice Morava, who had been on the board for some time, and I'm thinking, wow, you know, okay. I didn't think about myself being in that same role, and now suddenly, it seems, I find myself in that role. And I'm most happy to be here, most happy.
Senior leadership role, that's what I would call it. Pam has been such a great friend. You can tell just by her comments, the first thing she mentioned was the students and the impact changing lives. When we have guest students come on to our board meetings and share their personal stories, Pam is always the very first one to commend them, congratulate them, and most of the time give them a big hug for the work that they're doing to not only change the lives of their own career paths, but make a difference in our community and being an advocate and sharing those stories. So I'm really grateful that Pam has been with with me throughout my 10 years here at Gateway, but even before that, and we hope for another 15 or 20 years beyond.
I hope I live that long. Thanks.
Well, so far, so good.
Yeah.
It's also as good as it is to welcome someone who's been here a long time and been steadfast in their service. It's also exciting to welcome a newcomer, and of course, we do that today, as we said earlier, with Susan Gutschow, who is an instructor in Gateway's new veterinary technician program. So quite exciting. Tell us a little bit about yourself, where you come from originally, and what ultimately led you to Gateway.
Well, thank you. First of all, I'm delighted to be here to talk up this great new program, and I am really excited to be part of the Gateway family now. I'm an Iowa native, and I...
Where in Iowa?
Ames, Iowa, center of the state, mm-hmm. and I attended Iowa State University for undergraduate, and also graduated from their College of Veterinary Medicine. I might have chosen to stay in Iowa, but all the available jobs at that time involved pig medicine, and that wasn't my main area of interest. So I did take a job in Paddock Lake, Wisconsin, right after graduation, in a small animal general practice, and stayed there on and off for about 17 years. I've also worked part-time in a clinic in Burlington for the last 4 years, and I still work there one day a week, so I'm able to continue to flex my practice muscles. And my journey to Gateway, I think, was kind of a natural extension of that small animal practice. A couple of my most favorite things about working in a veterinary clinic are, of course, the animal contact. I love being able to put my hands on an animal and do something to help them, and so I'd like to be able to help other people do that as well. But also that client education piece, that conversation with the client in the exam room about what's going on with their furry family member and what their options are, that's education. And so this is kind of a natural extension of that.
Terrific. Whenever somebody says they're from Iowa and they're a vet, I always assume they're a farm girl or a farm boy. But you grew up in the city of Ames.
I did.
Anything in particular prompt your interest in this field?
You know, I kind of floundered about a little bit during my early college career. I had several different majors before I settled on animal science for my undergrad major and then on to vet school. But I'm a big believer that all things happen for a reason, and that was a path I needed to take, and I am thrilled with where I ended up.
Very good. I wish our listeners could see the two board members who are beaming as they listen to you talk with such enthusiasm about your field, and of course, they know as well as anybody that all that happens here at Gateway is first and foremost what springs out of the classroom and what our instructors do. And I suppose as board members, you at least occasionally get the opportunity to see that happen in person. Tell us about that.
Well, we do, Greg. And I would say that all of the instructors at the Gateway have this belief that, as Pam mentioned, it's a bigger cause. It's a place where people want to be, in part because we have a president, Brian Albrecht, who leads the college and does it in such a way that inspires people to just continue the reach. From time to time, we have the opportunity to tour campuses and meet and talk with staff members. I'm excited to go back to Elkhorn with the first class at the veterinary science and just see how that's working. And we also have lots of different times to interact with staff at our board committee of the whole meetings where they report out on different subject matter. But that excitement is, I believe, Brian, correct me, but is felt by everyone who works at the college. And it's just, it's a wonderful thing to be part of that.
Yeah, I would agree. I never have a down day at Gateway because if things aren't going well, I just go over to the classrooms and the labs and look at all the enthusiasm that our students have and inspiration that our faculty provide for them and opportunities, whether it's in our community or in the lab setting. And it really is an engaging place. And like Greg, I wish our audience could see because even today on a beautiful morning, there are a group of students right outside the studio here studying for their classes this afternoon. So it's a pretty remarkable place.
You have anything to add, Pamela?
You know, they've stolen my thunder. Really. Gary said it very, very well. I obviously, I've been on the board for 15 years, and during that time, I have gained an incredible respect for our instructors. And I know I've heard the stories. I've talked to students and heard their stories about how instructors have mentored them, It could be an individual instructor that has made the difference in somebody's life. And I can say it without any caveats. I tell the public that if you send your child or if you decide to attend Gateway, I promise you that you will have the best experience of your life. Hmm. So, again, it is the instructors.
That's where it all is.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we take great pride in the programs and the great partnerships that we have with our businesses. But, you know, unless we're able to provide a steady talent pool, the workforce, the skill sets that are necessary, those partnerships don't sustain themselves over time. And that comes from our instructors. They bring that real-world experience. Susan mentioned she's still practicing a veterinarian, which is absolutely remarkable. And to share that knowledge base and those real live explanations and examples of what's happening with our students makes it a real inviting and encouraging and inspiring place for our students.
For those of you just joining us for the morning show today, we have with us President Brian Albrecht from here at Gateway Technical College and two members of Gateway's Board of Trustees, Chairperson Gary Olson and longtime trustee Pamela Zena Richards. And we're also happy to have with us in the studio today Susan Gutschow, a new instructor here at Gateway Technical College, helping to head up Gateway's new veterinary technician program. Susan, let's hear a little bit more about the program, what it entails, I mean, the kind of things that are going to be taught to the students that are part of this program, and maybe say a word about what it's been like to try to get this program put together and ready to launch.
Sure. The veterinary technician program is a two-year associate's degree program, and students will certainly have classroom learning, but also lots of hands-on skills. You know, they'll begin with animal models and then move up to live animal contact, and they will learn about dogs, cats, cows, horses, rats, rabbits, mice, birds, and then any other species that we're fortunate enough to have the opportunity to work with. A large chunk of my time has been spent developing the curriculum for the program, so that entails choosing and developing the courses that students will take, determining the sequence that they will go in, and then which competencies will be included in each course. In other words, which essential skills will students learn in each of their classes. And those essential skills come directly from the American Veterinary Medical Association. That's the entity that accredits veterinary technician programs. And so I am working on our application for the accreditation process. We're in our initial stages now, and our first class needs to be at least two-thirds of the way through the curriculum before we have our first site visit. So until that time, I'll be working on the self-study documentation, which is pretty extensive for that process. We are very fortunate that we have a building being remodeled specifically for our purposes, and I am grateful and excited to have been able to give some input into the design of that building, and I think it's really going to be a fantastic space for our students to learn. We have a state-of-the-art classroom and a laboratory and many spaces that will simulate a real-world veterinary clinic environment, so students can really become comfortable with that. And, of course, that building needs to be filled with all the equipment and supplies that our students will need to learn. So I've been busily shopping for microscopes and X-ray equipment and surgical tables and all those sorts of things as well. And I've spent just the last few days at the symposium for the Association of Veterinary Technician Educators, which, as the name suggests, is a group of my colleagues from across the United States and Canada. And that was a tremendous experience because I got to glean all those pearls of wisdom that those folks were willing to share. People who have been in my place before are in my place now. And what a gracious, giving, sharing group of people who couldn't have been more willing to lend a hand to me and say, you know, hey, if you ever have a question, please give me a call. And that's just another example. I'm grateful to be part of that family and part of this family here where everyone is so supportive of this program.
I think what's so special about this program is that it's unique. There are only two or three other programs like it in the state, so it's going to be a high attraction program. Susan will share with kind of the enrollment process for it. We've had a great interest in the program already, and I think, you know, some of the challenges of starting a new program can always be, do you have enough demand? And apparently the demand is there, and I know the facility that I've had a chance to walk through it, it's not completely done yet. Within the next 3 weeks, it'll be completely up and ready. It's remarkable.
And where is it, by the way?
It's in Elkhorn. So we have our north building, our south building, and then we've always had a building called our workforce development building, but not many people would access it very much. We didn't have any real programming going on there. Now it'll be fully accessible with lots of new program going on, and I think we'll become a high energy and probably one of the shining stars of all of our campuses, this very unique facility. And what I was going to mention is, when people think of, okay, a veterinary office, what would it look like? And it looks just like you were going into a human medical facility. I mean, you've got surgical rooms, you got x-ray rooms, you got classroom space. It's very creative. And Susan's done a great job of helping us design and lay that all out.
How exciting. Of course, all that costs money. And Gary Olson is chair of the Board of Trustees. You and your colleagues have to wrestle with tricky, tough choices all the time in terms of what can we afford to do, and is a program like this worthy of all the resources that it takes to get it off the ground and do it properly. Tell us maybe a little bit about that decision-making process for you and the board.
You're right. We're constantly reviewing the budget. In fact, the budget process starts in December and goes through till May when it's finally approved. And over that period of time, really the discussion starts with Brian and his leadership team on what programs are maybe not having the attendance because of economy change or need in the community. As we look at new programs, we're constantly looking at programs that maybe need to be put on hold or maybe not eliminated. And then the community really drives where the president comes from what the business partners need in our community. So the college is about meeting our community needs. And so in an effort to balance the cost of doing that, we review that on a constant basis.
So it's tough choices, Pamela Zenner-Richard. You've made probably more than a few in your years on the board.
Indeed.
I have a feeling you guys feel really good about this decision.
Yes, very much so. I'll say, as a longtime board member, this is one of the goals that we have had. I mean, we've been working on this for some time, to have the programs that the communities that we serve need. We have a great connection with our businesses, so we know. And our administration is just on, they watch the marketplace. They have the relationships with business so that the programs that we have are the programs that we need to have. We look at our employer community and what those needs are. And we, as Gary said, we balance that, you know. I'm concerned about the use of taxpayer dollars, and so we're always aware of that. That's one of the things that we think about when we look at spending dollars. How are we spending them? Is it in the right direction? Is this the best way to spend them? And I think that we do a very, very good job of that. It's ongoing. It's always, because nothing stays the same, so we always have to be, you know, we have to be flexible. We have to, and we have, sometimes we move very, very quickly, do we not, Brian?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because ultimately, I mean, what it is we are training people for the jobs of today and tomorrow.
I think you're absolutely right, and I liked your comment about the economy changes, and you're absolutely right. I mean, we're seeing a big movement right now in transportation, logistics, manufacturing in the Kenosha community, just upskilling of the labor force that we currently have, and then at the same time expanding in new service areas, and in this case, veterinary science. I mean, that's so new, but if there aren't any other colleges around the area to train in those areas, what a great opportunity for us to begin to make those investments.
But as she was talking, I really became to appreciate one of the trickiest things here, which is that matter of moving aggressively when you see a need, and yet moving prudently and to some extent cautiously, because you don't want to just throw around money recklessly. it seems like this board is very good at balancing those two things, the need to pounce on important opportunities and yet to not do so recklessly.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Gary and I were just visiting this morning a little bit. Our planning process has typically been 3 years, but now our window is looking out 5 years from now. It took 2 years to get the veterinary technician program up and running. We had to do facility changes. We were fortunate to do great recruiting and hired Susan to come on and help write curriculum, do the student recruitment piece of it, get state board approval for all of it. It took a long time to put all the pieces together. You can't just decide today that, well, it would be great if we had a veterinary science program. Let's start it tomorrow. It'll be 2 years before you're able to get it started. So a lot of pieces to the puzzle. In fact, one of the key pieces is what are you going to teach, right? And so bringing that instructor on board with that experience and those connections within the community and has led to some really great coursework that's being offered now for our program.
Yeah. So spell some of that out for us. You've touched on some of the generalities, but exactly what kind of courses will students in this program be taking?
Sure. There are 14 program courses that all students in the program will take, and those include things like animal care and management, which is small and large animal, nursing skills, medication administration, handling, nutrition, those kinds of things. Veterinary business practices, which will teach students how to do those types of office tasks that they might find in a veterinary clinic, you know, how to make an invoice, how to use good telephone etiquette and make an appointment for a client over the phone. And that's kind of a major focus from our advisory committee. They would like to see students coming out not only with good technical skills, but also with outstanding people skills so that they can be part of a good team. We'll also have coursework in surgery. Students will learn surgical instruments and equipment, but also how to prepare a patient and assist the surgeon during the procedure. Anesthesia. Veterinary technicians typically will develop an anesthesia plan, administer that anesthesia to the patient, monitor the patient throughout the procedure, and adjust accordingly. There is an imaging class. Students can take x-rays and learn about ultrasound and endoscopy. They'll learn pharmacology and drug calculations, laboratory animal medicine, clinical pathology, where students learn common animal diseases, what their features are, and how to diagnose them. The students will actually do those diagnostic tests from start to finish. They'll gather the sample, they'll run the test, and then they'll learn how to interpret those results as well. The program also includes 7 general education courses, things like psychology and ethics, which are very important to that kind of a people-focused program, microbiology, basic nutritional science, that kind of thing. And in addition, we're offering 4 program-specific electives, so students can look further into one of their interest areas, like possibly animal behavior or integrative treatment modalities in veterinary medicine or emergency medicine for the veterinary technician.
So I can tell, Greg, you're pretty surprised and amazed at what our students are going to learn. I can tell by your facial expressions. And I'm guessing many of our listening audience also probably pretty surprised at the type of in-depth experience that our students are going to have in the program. And, you know, being a pet owner, we have a Sheltie, Hannah, who is a part of our family. So with the care that she is going to receive from the veterinary technicians and the veterinary science community is critical. It's important for us. It's important, of course, for Hannah as well.
Right. I think one of the reasons I'm astounded is, and I hope whoever is happens to be the technician where we take our dog isn't listening, but I just assume that all they do is hold the golden retriever while the vet actually does whatever they need to do. And of course, a lot of what you're describing doesn't happen in front of the dog owner or the cat owner. I mean, it's behind closed doors where a lot of the real stuff of veterinary medicine takes place. So
right.
This is a really good example of how important vital work is, in a sense, hidden away from the public, in a sense. I mean, not for any reason of secrecy, but just we just aren't there to see all that a veterinary technician does. Has this changed a lot in the field in terms of the I mean, not that you haven't been doing this all that long, but I mean, what's your sense of the role of the veterinary technician? Has this become kind of an increasingly important sort of position as technology and so on improves and deepens?
Oh, definitely. The usage and demand for veterinary technicians just continues to grow exponentially. As people begin to view their animals as members of their family, the care that's being offered and demanded for those animals just goes through the roof. And so the more care that's needed, the more skilled professionals are needed to deliver that care. And so veterinary technicians are becoming more and more commonplace in just a general practice. Years ago, you might have only found them in a specialty practice or an overnight emergency clinic, that kind of thing. But now a large number of general practices do employ veterinary technicians because, as I alluded to with the coursework, those vet techs do a lot. So they really increase the services and the volume of patients that a veterinary clinic is able to serve.
And the level of care that
Absolutely.
They can provide. I suppose one of the most important responsibilities you have is helping to helm a new program is to not only spread the word, but particularly when it comes to young people coming up thinking about various possibilities for various professional careers, getting more of them to understand what an exciting possibility this might be for them. What are you doing in that respect in terms of working with, for instance, high school students and teachers who might advise them accordingly?
Sure. Well, as Brian mentioned, it is a very high-demand program. It's the area was waiting for this kind of a program. So there is a lot of student interest. But I do attend open houses here at Gateway as well as at area high schools to kind of let everyone know that we're here and what it's all about. We've had a presence at local pet expos. And I've spoken in a few Gateway general education courses, again, just to let students know that we're here and that this is an option. I think high schools do a nice job of offering courses like animal science or veterinary medical terminology, and that can be a really great introduction to the field.
Pamela Zenner-Richards, you're the person who's been in Gateway longer than any of the guests, and it must be especially exciting when you look back over the last 15 years to think about some of the exciting ways in which Gateway has grown and in the way, in, for instance, various new programs like this one have sprung into being.
Well, it's the reason I'm still around. I tell people it's an addiction, but a good one. Just to be part of the growth of this college, to see the changes that we've been able to make, we're highly adaptable. It's incredible the things that we were able to do. Admittedly, a program like this new program, takes a couple years to put in place because it has many facets to it. But we have a reputation of meeting the needs of employers and students very quickly. I'm not going to elaborate on it, but I mean, I've been around long enough to be able to say that when we did the boot camps, and I think we just graduated the 22nd
Correct.
Boot camp last Friday. That is an example of how nimble Gateway is and continues to be. I have a hard time. I swear that somebody's going to call me a cheerleader for Gateway. I really do. But I know what we do. I know the work that's put into this. Our administration, our instructors, along with this board. This is an incredible board. I've served on many boards, but this is an incredible board. The people here really, really have invested time and energy in making this college move forward. So, hey, I'm a happy camper.
Yeah, I really appreciate Pam's insight to that because she's absolutely right. The example of the boot camps has transformed the way that we think about the customization of the experience for our students. And there are lots of new programs. Today we get to highlight one really great program in veterinary technician, but we'll also open a new gas utility worker program this year, a new arborist program. Recently we opened a new urban farming program. And so ophthalmology is a new program for us. There's so many different new career paths that are being continuously evolving here at Gateway. And I think the idea of being a cheerleader is just a great example. And I would remind Pam that our tryouts for Rudy the Red Hawk, our mascot, are only 3 weeks away. Only three
right.
weeks away, but we're all cheerleaders for Gateway.
Bring your pom-poms. And I appreciated the term she used, nimble. Gateway
yes.
is nimble. What a great term to characterize the way in which Gateway is trying to respond to everything going on. And, of course, Gary Olson, the central piece to so much of that is the partnerships that Gateway forges with various entities out in the world of business Explain to our listeners why that is so important and continues to be of paramount importance.
Greg, it's terribly important. It's a huge impact, and for outcome to the college, for students, allowing the college to provide the highest level of training, the state of the art training. The business investment in the college provides real life training experiences that are unique in the world today, that the students from Gateway leave with. You know, the partnerships goes beyond just donations of equipment. They are engaged in the college. The curriculum in collaboration with the college is put together so it with the NC3 partnership, our students can go anywhere and get a job in the country with some of the training that's provided here at the college. Brian has done a wonderful job of cultivating those partnerships, and as a partner, you have a stake in the outcome. Wonderful, necessary. And the community as a whole benefits from that.
Yeah, I think that's the ultimate goal of all of us here at Gateway, is that it's to help our students get a job. So, you know, we're a college all around, helping develop the capacity for individuals at any level they're at, whether it's directly from high school or maybe they're coming back for some training, to have the skill sets to be able to go out and feel confident in that job market.
Mm-hmm. Susan, maybe you could say a word about the kind of real-world application that the students in this program are going to have. I mean, at some point in the program, do they get to sort of get out in the world and work in an actual veterinary office? And what kind of partnerships have to be forged in order to make those opportunities available?
Yes, actually, our students will work pretty extensively out in the community. Our program is not going to house a colony of animals on campus, and so we're going to rely very heavily on our community partners for those kinds of hands-on experiences. They'll have some hands-on in school, but a lot more out in the field in the real world. There are three clinical skills courses in the curriculum, plus an internship experience. And during each of those courses, students will be placed in a different veterinary facility so that they can gain more hands-on experience and do so in that real-world setting so they see how things really work. And this, of course, is a huge benefit to the students to get all that extra experience. And it's also a win for that veterinary clinic. That's a great working interview to have a student there for 7-8 weeks, 3 days a week, full days, to see how they're functioning there. Those relationships are extremely important for us, and across the board, veterinary clinics have been very enthusiastic in lending their support to this program and volunteering to be clinical sites for our students. We're lucky to have a number of very high-quality veterinary clinics in our area that can meet that standard that we need to set for our students' education.
Very good. So those partnerships, at least for the most part, are already in place?
A great number of them are, yes.
Great.
You know, Greg, we talk about the excitement in the college, and our business partners have that same excitement. They are excited about being a partner with Gateway, and you can just see it, you can feel it. It's a wonderful experience.
Very good. Pamela, I suspect that being around as long as you have and having seen so many important programs here at Gateway grow and prosper, you in particular have a long view on the importance of things like internships that really connect our students with the real world.
Yes, I do. Recently, or last year, being part of Racine County legislative body, but we had the opportunity to have an intern in the county executive's office. And his name was Michael, and he was a graduate student, and I got to see firsthand how that worked. So I'll just tell you a couple of things that I gained from that experience, because the student gains. Obviously, as Susan touched on, they gain real-world experience. And it gives them a chance to test drive the career that they have, they've chosen. Is this the right career for me, or should I be thinking of something else? They network, they form relationships. Those are things that can continue, that will drive success for them in the future. They earn credit. They acquire new skills, and possibly at the end of it, a job. You know, it's a win-win situation. At the same time, the employer gains. They're filling a need within their own business, and they're also looking at the student as a possible employee. So, and all around, it's a great experience for both.
I think it's fantastic. I love that. I think we have a new campaign for next year, Test Drive Your Career. Pam, that's exactly what it is. It's like,
Brian, I saw you write that down.
That was remarkable. You're absolutely right. What you said is it's an impactful experience. It changes the lives of the individuals because now they're doing what they've learned in the classroom, and they're demonstrating it to a third party, their hopefully future employer.
Susan, real quick, for a high school student who might be listening, or their parents or whoever, and might be thinking this, maybe this would be interesting for me. Are there any particular things they should think about? I mean, in terms of maybe the kind of person or a person with a certain set of skills where this might likely be a very good fit. How would you have them sort of approach this question?
Well, I would definitely look at academics. This is a rigorous program, and particularly in the math and science areas. So, making sure that a student is confident in those areas is helpful. But as I kind of mentioned earlier, you know, this is an animal field, but first and foremost, it's actually a people field. So if students think, well, you know, I don't really want to work with people, I'd rather just work with animals, that may come as kind of a rude shock. This is much more about working with people. Animals obviously are important. You have to be that advocate for that animal first and foremost, but that relationship with the client is paramount. So people skills are very important as well. You know, as Pam mentioned with the test drive, that's very applicable here as well. And in fact, it's a 20-hour job shadowing requirement for students to start program courses for that very reason. I think sometimes students may not have an accurate idea of what the profession's about. So to get out there and volunteer in an animal shelter or work for a veterinary clinic as a kennel attendant would really be helpful to kind of get an idea of how this job really works and whether it's for that student. And, of course, increasing their animal experience will make them that much more comfortable when they get into the program. My final recommendation would be if the student starts at Gateway prior to entering the program, taking some of those general education courses before they begin their program coursework would be extremely helpful so they can free up some study time for those core courses.
What should people do if they want more information about this?
Well, they should contact me.
Okay. And how do they do that?
They can email me at my Gateway email, gutchows@gtc.edu. Or certainly call me. Go on the website. All of my contact information is there, listed under the Veterinary Sciences programs.
Very good. So gtc.edu. Well, what an exciting hour this has been, huh? Of course, we're so happy to have, for the first time, Susan Gutchow, an instructor in Gateway's new veterinary technician program. Great to meet you. Great to have you here. Maybe sometime we can have you back on the program to talk about, in more extensive detail, the important work that veterinarians do in our community. That would be fun.
I would be delighted. Thank
Great.
You.
And Gary Olson, the chairperson of the Gateway Board of Trustees, and Pamela Zena Richards, a longtime trustee. Great to have both of you here as well.
Yeah, thank you, Greg.
Thank you.
And Brian Albrecht, the boss, president of Gateway Technical College. It's always great to have you cross the hall and join us on the morning show. We look forward to seeing you in September.
Thank you, Greg. Always a pleasure to be with you.
Very good. Tomorrow on the morning show, a couple of different interviews. One of them will be with a best-selling author whose latest book is called Once Upon a Time in Russia, which chronicles how a small group of Russian men managed to each amass huge fortunes in those first years after the dissolution of the old Soviet Union as capitalism or some form of it first took place in the nation of Russia. A really fascinating period. And the very next day, on Wednesday, I'll welcome here Carthage Professor Yuri Maltsev, born and raised in Russia, who is going to offer his own analysis of Mr. Mensch's book and his own thoughts about that really turbulent and fascinating period in Russian history. On Thursday, local author James Niebuhr, who has joined us before, this time to be talking about one of his most recent books, A Chronicle of All the Westerns of the Great Clint Eastwood. And on Friday, UW Parkside Professor Jonathan Shaler, we talk about Shakespeare on Friday. He has headed up something called the Shakespeare Project, doing Shakespeare behind prison walls. And there is a special fundraiser that is coming up for his program as they gear up for what they're going to be offering in this coming year. So we'll talk with him on Friday. The morning show airs every weekday morning between 8 and 9 o'clock. The program is archived at WGTD.org. Click on Talk. Okay, our weather forecast for southeastern Wisconsin and northeastern Illinois, not quite as exciting as yesterday's. Today's forecast is for sunshine and a high temperature of 83 degrees and clear tonight and down to 55 degrees for an overnight low. Sunny tomorrow with a high of 80 degrees. Wednesday, partly sunny. The high slips down to 78 degrees. We'll stay in the 70s for daytime highs later in the week through the early weekend. Mostly sunny skies, although a slight chance of rain each and every day. Our temperatures will begin to start climbing again on Sunday. This is WGTD HD, Kenosha.